This is Scott Parker, servant and apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, ministering locally in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex and all over the world via the internet. I want to welcome you to my podcast. Father, I just give you praise. I just give you glory, for there's none like it unto you. The great I am who sits on the sides of the north in Mount Zion, the circle of the earth. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. We thank you, Father, for your glorious Holy Spirit, for he is the eyes of the Lord who run to and fro throughout all the earth to show himself strong on those whose heart is perfect towards you. Father, we just thank you for making our hearts right. Well, thank God I am entitling this podcast Way of Escape, and I'm going to be looking into how God always gives us a way of escape. Go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. I'm going to read out of the New International Version. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way so you can endure it. I think the King James says, so you can escape it. Okay, we can see right here that God is with us when we're tempted. Of course, he's always with us. And he controls the temptation. He doesn't allow us to be tempted above what we're able to get through. You know, so God is for us. You know, temptation to do what is wrong is part of life. And it's intended to develop good character in us. And you'll learn that from the Word of God. So to develop good character in us, we have to go through temptation. And you'll go through some suffering when you go through it. And you know, those of you that say, well, I just do whatever I want to, whatever feels good. Well, I've met people like you, and I know what you'll end up like. You'll end up a corrupt person, a selfish person. Misery and destruction are in your pathways. I've been around the block a few times. I know what I'm talking about. And those that learn to resist temptation and do what is right in the sight of the Lord, they'll develop a loving character. They'll become a pleasant person, and happiness and joy belongs to people like that. And, you know, you say, well, why doesn't everybody choose that way? Because it's easier just to do what you want. And with sin in us, some of the things we desire aren't good. And it takes discipline to choose the right way. You know, short term, there is pleasure in doing things that aren't good. But you develop a heart that becomes hateful, selfish. And every bad thing you can imagine will be conceived in you. You'll become a dishonorable person. Just depends on how far you violate your conscience. How far you just let yourself go. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Evil spirits will fascinate people with evil. They'll make bad things look attractive. They entice and seduce and pervert the right way. But people that resist temptation to do things they know are wrong, they'll suffer at times. But as they learn to abide in Christ, his words abide in him, they bear the very nature of God. I'm just telling you, we all grew up knowing to do right, to resist evil. We didn't always know what was right in every situation, but we knew enough, and we knew we were sinners. Now, there are those who resist to do things that are wrong, but they don't turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. They know they're sinners, but they don't turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. And like I said, they resist to do things that are wrong, but they just become self-righteous. And they're corrupt in another way, but they look righteous in their outward behavior. You're going to have to turn to the Lord, or you'll never get changed. But people who abide in Christ, they develop righteousness. And these kind of people you want to be around. They're honorable people. They have a heart that will, you know. But it's not just abiding in Christ. Part of abiding in Christ is they got to come to the light of the Word of God, be corrected. See, I've met some people that abide in Christ. They've received the Lord Jesus Christ. They walk with him, but there's certain areas they just will not let God correct them in. And so they're only changed to a degree. Okay, so You might as well learn this. As long as we live in this age, this present world, we are subject to become corruptible or more corrupt or more immoral, or we can follow God and be made righteous and live righteously. You can go one way or the other. You can be made righteous and be made even more righteous, or you can become more corrupt. Turn to Galatians 6:8 and let's read out of the New Living Translation. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. Okay? Now, to please God, you got to live by faith. Never forget that. If you ever want to know, how do I please God? Just get in faith. Put faith in His Word. Put faith in the gospel. Mix faith with the gospel. And you'll please God. That's how you please God. And you can please God no matter where you're at morally. You can have a lot of sin in you. You can be bound up in a lot of areas. You just start using your faith. That'll please God. God will accept you where you're at, and He'll start setting you free. Let's read Galatians 6:8 in the Contemporary English Version. If you follow your selfish desires, you will harvest destruction. But if you follow the Spirit, you will harvest eternal life. Now, these next verses describe all of us in our fallen nature. And as you read, you will see what happens to you and me if we don't turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and learn to abide in Him. Romans 3:9. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles, they are all under sin. That's all of us. We're all under sin. Okay? This is describing people that are all under sin. They're all in a fallen state. As you're written, there's none righteous, none on one. Now, this is a description of every person born in this world, and look what will happen to them if they don't turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's none that understands. There's none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They're all together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, none at one. Now, the devil will try to deceive people who haven't received the Lord into thinking, well, I do good things, but it's all self-righteousness. You're not doing God's will, and you can't pay for your sins you committed either, and so you're not righteous. Their throat is an open sepulcher, with their tongue they've used deceit, pours vast under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. Okay? If you don't turn to the Lord and get out of walking after your own heart, after your own sinful ways, destruction and misery are in your ways. All right? So you need to turn to the Lord. And those of you that have turned to the Lord, you want to learn to live by faith. Get in faith. Galatians 3:22. But the Scripture have concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. So we're all born under sin. It's our nature, and we have to overcome it. And the only way to overcome it is by faith. See, you can only overcome it by grace. But see, God's grace is extended to everybody. But how come people aren't overcoming? Because you overcome it by God's grace, and you access that grace by faith. If you want to overcome, you get in faith, and you mix it with the gospel, and you'll be accessing grace. You can start overcoming. That's all it takes to overcome. Access grace by faith. So, walking through and resisting temptation is a part of overcoming the evil characteristics of the sin nature and all its ways in developing a righteous nature. Okay? See, it even talks about when you're in temptation, go get some grace from God. So you do that with your faith, and then you can overcome that temptation. You need to get your attitude changed about temptation, that it's a good thing. Not, oh, here I am being tempted again. Every time you're tempted, go, oh, here we go. I got another opportunity to overcome some more. This is another opportunity to overcome my own heart. Okay. So we read earlier, God always provides us a way of escape from every temptation and will not allow us to be tempted above what we're able to bear. So once again, temptation has a good purpose. All right. So turn to 1 Peter 5:8. I'm going to read the New Life Version. Keep awake. Watch at all times. The devil is working against you. He is walking around like a hungry lion with his mouth open. He is looking for someone to eat. Stand against him and be strong in your faith. Remember, other Christians all over the world are suffering the same as you. You know, I want to say this about how the devil is a roaring lion, walk about seeking whom he may devour, or as in this translation, someone to eat. People quote that scripture and they say, oh yeah, but his teeth have been pulled. He can't do anything. Well, let me tell you something. If you walk in sin, he can destroy you. And I've watched him destroy people over years. And that includes Christians. And they just sit there and say, oh, well, you know, disease and all these bad things is part of life. No, the devil's devouring you. You got it? He's devouring you because you're not resisting him steadfast in the faith. Because you continued in sin and he kept getting a stronger and stronger hold on you. So learn to walk by faith. So the devil's always after us. So what we do, what we need to do is learn to stay in faith. And, you know, be alert, watch and pray. Verse 10, after you've suffered a while, God himself will make you perfect. See, you're resisting temptation. You're resisting the devil. See, him attacking you is a temptation. He's been judged and cast out through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. See, Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. And he said, now is the prince of this world judged. Now is the prince of this world cast out. So him coming to destroy you is a temptation. But he can really do it. But if you just stand fast in the faith, he can't. And while you're standing steadfast in the faith, you're being perfected. Okay? So, after you've suffered a while, God himself will make you perfect. He'll keep you in the right way. He will give you strength. He is the God of all loving favor and has called you through Christ Jesus to share his shining greatness forever. All right? Now here again, it talks about God's grace, his loving kindness, while he's letting you be tempted, while you're suffering, going through temptation. Why? Because you're being perfected in it. All right? You get your eyes open, you'll see God is love all through the Word of God. Even when you're going through hard times, you'll see he's love. You know, one of the deceptions of the devil is to make evil look good and good look evil. And we see some of that in our land. And, you know, in different lands. And so when you see that, you know, evil spirits have been at work there deceiving people. So, for us, you know, we're instructed to be alert and watchful. And for us to be alert and watchful, we have to learn to live a life of prayer. Now, you know, when you start talking about prayer, people get religious. They think about getting in a certain posture, bowing their head, putting their hands together, or holding hands. And, you know, that's fine if you want to do that. You know, or they think we need to go to a church building to be able to pray. But reading the Word of God out loud is a form of prayer. Talking about the Word of God is prayer. Fellowshipping with other people in the Word of God is prayer. Okay? So, you know, and you know, look at this. 1 Timothy 2:8. I will therefore that men pray everywhere. So you don't have to go to a church to pray. You can pray there, but you can pray anywhere. You can pray in your car. You can pray on an airplane, you can pray at work, you know, might be a good idea to pray quietly, you know. You don't want to disturb your workers or you don't want to be distracted from doing your job, but pray everywhere. Lift up holy hands without wrath and doubt. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Let's read that in the International Standard Version. Continually be prayerful. Now, I used to read that, you know, rebellion in my heart. Said, well, I can't do that all the time. Well, of course, when you're sleeping, you got to eat, you got to do everything. Of course, God knows that. But you put the Word of God in your heart and you read the Word of God and you don't even realize how much you do pray. Because when you're talking about it, you just get in faith, you're praying. Matthew 26:41, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Now, the temptation is good as you resist it steadfast in faith, but you don't want to enter into it. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And see, this is why you got to pray, because your flesh is weak. So you got to stay built up in faith. Luke 22:40. And when he was at the place, this is Jesus going into the Garden of Gethsemane, he saith unto the disciples, pray that you enter not into temptation. Okay, so to be successful and alive and stay out of temptation, stay out of the traps of the devil, we have to live a life of prayer. We need to pray, and we need to pray for others also, so God will help them stay out of temptation and go the right way. Because some people have not learned to pray yet. Some people are busy praying. You know, we have a new president and administration in office here in America, and And you know, you may not agree with all of the Trump administration's policies, but if you're going to obey the words of God, you need to be praying for President Trump. Okay? So all of you that say you're a Christian, you're bad-mouthing him night and day, you need to stop it, and you need to obey the word of God and pray for him. That doesn't mean you have to agree with everything, all his policies, but you need to pray for him. You need to pray for the members of the Senate and the House of Representatives and all authority that's in the government. Let's look at that, 1 Peter 2. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, giving in thanks be made for all men, for kings, and all that are in authority. So that's the Trump administration and all that are in the government of the United States and all the government leaders all over the world, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. That's a pretty good promise, isn't it? That's a good promise to be praying for the authority. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. See, don't be speaking bitter words against President Trump. I see that all over social media. People are speaking against him. Do you want him to do what's right? Well, if you don't agree with him, start praying that God will cause him, will change him and do what's right. But you might also want to consider that you might need to be the one that needs to change. Because some of the things some of y'all are saying is not right. Okay? Now, I want to say something to President Trump and his administration. And you say, you think he listens to you? I have no idea. But if God wants him to hear this, he'll hear. So you need to consider showing mercy when it comes to mass deportations. And I'm not going to tell you exactly how to do it. I'm not sure I got it exactly right. Okay? I'm not going to tell you exactly how it should be carried out. But what I believe needs to be considered is deporting families of illegal aliens who have been here in the United States for a long time and have young children or children that grew up here in the United States. Okay? I think you just need to look at this more closely, consider it, and think about showing mercy. I know they broke our laws. I know that they put themselves and their children in this position. I know that. You know, if they got what they deserved, they'd be deported. That's why I say you need to consider showing mercy. And, you know, can you imagine children who grew up here in the United States, say those that are in high school or whatever grade they made it to, or they're already in their 20s, and their parents are deported, and now they're separated, and all the heartache that will bring. And what if their parents have been law-abiding residents since they lived here, and they pose no threat to the United States, and there's no danger in leaving them here? And many of them are holding jobs that need to be filled. Okay? I just think these things need to be considered. Even if the families are deported together, just imagine starting a new life in another country when you grow up here with no home and no job. Okay? So there's several things to consider. First, if you deport too many illegal aliens, you could very well cause a worker shortage, which in turn would result in shortage of products and services, which in turn would cause inflation. And it's not in the best interest of the people of the United States of America. Also, I would say, President Trump, if you go to the American people and you say, hey, I think we need to show mercy and in some cases not deport every illegal alien, and tell the American people, I've considered the heartache of separating families that pose no threat to the United States and the problems we as a nation could face if we deport too many illegal aliens because of the worker shortage, which would the problems it would cause in a shortage of service of product. See, I think you would be wise to compromise with the Democratic Party on this issue. If you're going to keep most of your supporters in the Democratic Party who voted for you in the past election, then do some compromising. That's what I believe would be wise. But if you start breaking up a bunch of family of illegal aliens, this is going to tear the heart and soul of American people apart. Because many, or at least some Republicans and many Democrats, don't want to see this happen. And if you show a willingness to show mercy to some degree or another, this will bring unity to the American people. Because already, just going out of the gate, you're doing many great things for America. But, you know, there's voters out there that they're not very smart. And all they got to do is get offended in one area and then they'll try to vote you out. You know, and for the President of the United States to lead this nation with any degree of unity, he needs to come to the table and consider what the other political party believes is right on at least some issues. Otherwise, when the midterm election rolls around, you will most likely lose seats in the House and in the Senate and will not be able to get much done after that. Now, I'm not saying God is saying this to President Trump. It just seems right to me to show mercy. Okay? Now, God did speak to me over 40 years ago and said, I'm going to send you before kings and presidents to prophesy against it. And I was 20 years old and just started following God. And he speaks this to me. And that was my first clue I was called as a prophet. Now, I don't have anything to prophesy against President Trump. I don't even have the faith to do it. And I hope I never have to, you know, as far as President Trump's concerned. I don't have the faith to do that yet anyway. You know, I can tell. I know in my spirit, I'm working at breaking through. I'm still working at breaking through the law of Moses. That's my big problem. And there's some sins that need to be purged out of me. I need to be set free from. Then I can escape the law of Moses. Let's go ahead and take a break and play a song. Let's do Battle Hymn of the Republic by Pamela Pontiac.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He hath loosed the faithful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, alleluia. Glory, glory, alleluia. Glory, glory, alleluia. His truth is marching. The lilies, Christ was born across the sea, with the glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. As he died to make men holy, let us live to make men free, while God is marching is marvelous.
Now, let's get back to talking about temptation. James 1:12, blessed is the man that endured temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord had promised to them that love him. Let's read that in the complete Jewish Bible. How blessed is the man who perseveres through temptation, for after he has passed the test, he will receive as his crown the life which God has promised to those that love him. You know, when you're resisting temptation, that's part of loving God. Wow, that's keeping the words of God. That's staying in faith. Let's read the contemporary English version. God will bless you if you don't give up when your faith is being tested. He'll reward you with a glorious life, just as he rewards everyone who loves him. Okay, back to the King James translation. Back in James, let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. God created man with certain functions and desires, and the tempter, which is the devil, will play on those functions and desires. Then, when lust have conceived, it bring forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bring forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So the devil will tempt you to get things you desire. But if you resist the temptation, God will give you every good and perfect gift from above. You got that? See, the devil's right there to get you to go the wrong way. God's right there to bless you if you'll keep resisting temptation and go the right way. See? Okay, let's read that verse 17 in the New Living Translation. Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shadow of turning. Okay, so the devil works at snaring you, trapping you, seducing you. That's to lead you away. He lures you. He tries to deceive you. He tries to get you in sin, and then he wants to condemn you. Because he knows that through faith, you'll overcome him. And so he keeps saying, oh, enjoy this and enjoy that. Well, God says, resist the temptation. Follow God, and every good and perfect gift he'll give you. See, the devil play on that lust in you and your natural function. Like, let me give you an example. He'll play on your natural function to mate with the opposite sex and try to lead you into fornication. And just use the other person. Be selfish. But God has made a way of escape. And God will give you a spouse. All right? Look at 1 Corinthians 7:1. Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, this is Paul speaking, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, likewise also the wife unto the husband. Let's read that verse 3 in the Common English Bible. The husband should meet his wife's sexual needs, and the wife should do the same for her husband. Back to King James. The wife have not power of her own body, but the husband. Likewise, also the husband have not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourself to fasting prayer and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. Okay, let's read verse 5, New Living Translation. Do not deprive each other of sexual relations unless you both agree to refrain from sexual intimacy for a limited time, so you can give yourself more completely to prayer. Afterwards, you should come together again, so Satan will not be able to tempt you because of your lack of self-control. See, God's making a way for you to live righteously. The devil's always working at getting you in sin. And you know, we live in a world where there are spirits always at work all around us to lead us into sin. But God is always with us, and he will make a way of escape so we can do what's right. But you have to learn to pray. Put the word in your heart and let God provide your needs. All right? It's just the way it is. This is why people get into sin and they get worse and worse, because they're not believing God. They're not reading the word of God. They're not making an effort to follow God. Okay, turn to Galatians 4:1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bear his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering on the Lord. And Abel also brought of the firstling of the flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering. But unto Cain, his offspring, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And you know, I thought about this, and I thought, what was it about Abel's offering that God approved of, but he didn't approve of Cain's offerings? And you know, I knew that it was faith that pleases God. And I thought, let me go to the 11th chapter of Hebrews and see if Abel's faith is spoken of there. Sure enough, it's right there in the fourth verse. Let's turn there. Hebrews 11:4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. See? And, okay, go to verse 6. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? Now, I'm going to read the 7th verse in 4 different translations. And keep in mind, it's faith that pleases God. It's faith that God accepts. If thou do well, he's talking to Cain, thou shalt be accepted. If you do well, get in faith. And if thou doest not well, now look at this. This is very revealing here. Sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, sin's desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Let's read that same verse in the International Standard Verse. If you do what is appropriate, get in faith. Doesn't say that. Those are my words. You will be accepted, won't you? But if you don't do what is appropriate, sin is crouching near your doorway, turning towards you. Now, as for you, will you take dominion over it? The sin. Let's read that English Standard Version. If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. It desires contrary to you, but you must rule over it. New Living Translation. If you will be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you, but you must subdue it and be its master. Okay? Faith pleases God. You will be accepted if you get in faith. That's doing what's right. But if you refuse to do what's right and get in faith, watch out. Sin is crouching at the door. See, these are very revealing scriptures once you get understanding, because it tells us we're accepted by God through faith, that our works are righteous when they're done in faith. And if you don't stay in faith, sin in you is at the door and turning towards you. It's eager to control you. Sin in you desires to control you. And you need to rule over it. You need to rule over the sin in you. Okay? So even right off the bat in the 4th chapter of the book of Genesis, it talks about how, you know, it tells how Adam and Eve fell, and then how sin started operating through people, and how we needed to get in faith. Okay, turn to Romans 6:10, International Standard Version. For when he died on a sin once, that's Jesus, and for all as far as sin is concerned. But now that he is alive, he lives for God. In the same way, you too must continually consider yourself dead as far as sin is concerned, but living for God through the Messiah Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin rule in your mortal body so you obey its desire. So, like I just said, way back in the book of Genesis, Cain let sin rule in him and he killed his brother. If Cain would have gotten in faith like his brother, sin in him wouldn't have taken him over. Do you see that? That's what that's saying. Go back to Hebrews 11, but the 6th verse. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know, in Habakkuk 2, it says that his soul, which is lifted up, is talking about Jesus, is not upright, but the just shall live by faith. That's why Jesus didn't get into sin, because he lived by faith. But his soul was not upright, just like Abel and Cain's soul was not upright. But see, Abel didn't fall into sin, or he didn't commit a sin there. He still sinned, but he didn't fall into sin there because he was in faith. But Cain did. And here we're seeing that faith pleases God. Okay? So if you want to please God, you got to get in faith. And then you can live a victorious life. See, that's how you live victorious. Faith. Turn to Hebrews, go back to the 10th verse, verse 38, Hebrews. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Now what's it talk about drawing back from? Well, faith, of course. If you draw back from living by faith, God will have no pleasure in you, and sin is at the door, ready to take you over. See, you know, you get your eyes open, you'll see God set everything in place to bring us back to Him and teach us to live by faith so we can be overcomers and be reconciled to God. Okay, Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, it's the power of God unto salvation, everyone that believed, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So as we hold fast to the gospel, God's righteousness or His will be revealed through faith and cause you to have the faith to do His will. And, it, you know, this is all a growing process. See, it says we go from faith to faith. Galatians 3:11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, for it is written, the just shall live by faith. We're not righteous by trying to keep the law of Moses. We don't go around, but we don't go around breaking the law. We fulfill it by faith. We stay out of temptation and fall into sin by praying and getting in faith. We overcome sin by faith. We get the promise of God by faith. We're accepted by God by faith. Verse 17 again. So then faith come up by hearing. No, that's not Romans. Go to 10th verse of the 10th chapter, verse 17. So then faith come up by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So to learn and pray, we have to learn to pray and get in faith. And as your heart is changed more and more, you will naturally live in faith and be overcomer. Okay, I can tell I don't have the strength to go on, so I'm going to call it quits here. I think I've put enough out there to minister to everybody. I want to encourage everybody to come back and tune back into my podcast. Everybody have a great day. God bless.
Just like a tree that's planted by the water.